Hour two of the Blitz starting right now here on Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Also live on Twitter, live on Facebook, live on the web browser, and live in the Fan Run Radio app. We're getting closer to Omaha. You don't want to start driving to Omaha or get to Omaha and then, you know, realize that you don't have a way to listen to Fan Run Radio. You want to go ahead and download that free app now. Take us with you wherever you may go. Starting off hour one with an opening drive. First down. The streak is over. The streak is over as, well, Giancarlo Stanton has finally hit a home run over the left field wall in Camden Yards. First player all year to hit a home run in Camden Yards. So,
is that's the one with the cutout, right?
So the Orioles,
yeah, okay,
decided that their new left field wall, or that their old left field wall was too close, obviously, and too short. So the Orioles got this grand idea. This grand idea to move the wall back nearly 30 feet and also make it tall.
The height one gets me every time.
Not like 10 feet, 15 feet. You know, we'll make it a little taller, maybe, you know, move it back like 15 feet, just a little tougher. No, an entire 30 feet, and they raised the wall to reduce the rate of home runs in that portion of the ballpark. Aaron Judge called the changes a travesty. Mancini said nobody likes it. No hitters like it, myself included, who's an Orioles player. Visiting hitters have consistently complained about it, as not only have we gotten potential deadened balls this year, but also you just can't hit home runs.
Yeah,
with that wall. Judge on Wednesday hit one that would have gone over in 29 out of 30 MLB ballparks. It was part of
Wow, they've only had four of their own players hit a home run over that wall.
I was about to say, and they've had zero visiting players.
That's crazy.
Until last night. There have been double-digit home runs, or balls that would have been home runs, last year with the park dimensions. And then last night, Giancarlo Stanton hit one off the bat that was absolutely crushed. And would have gone out in 29 of 30 parks. And there was a lot of anger there as... you know, that was already something that had been discussed the night before when Judge had called the Orioles out for it.
It just looks so goofy.
But then last night, finally, Giancarlo Stanton gives it one more try. Gets up to the plate. Top of the fourth inning after, you know, just missing his first at-bat. And he just tucks it inside the foul pole. At 392.
Oh, man, if that would have went foul, just the amount of just anger that would have rushed through him probably.
Which, by the way, shout out to Anthony Santander for walking the Yankees off. It's funny, the Orioles have the Yankees number this year. Kind of feels like. As, yeah, the Yankees just won 3 out of 4 against him. But the Yankees have lost 10 games this year. And 4 of them have been the Orioles, I believe.
Wow.
Kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. Because they're not a great team.
No, not even a good one, really. I mean, it's just Santander is not bad.
Yeah, I just think the field looks dumb now. It's just such a random cutout.
They have Cedric Mullins, obviously, a solid too, but yeah, no, I think it's hilarious. It's like one of my favorite things that's been going on this year. That's just been like one of those low key stories.
Just don't aim for that wall. Go just a little bit further right, and you'll find the bullpen right there that you can knock homers over all the time.
Second down, Kevin McCullough Jr., former Texas Tech guard, has committed to Kansas. You might ask, Charlie, why does that really matter? Why is that opening drive worthy? I mean, sure, he was a good player at Texas Tech last year. You know, a really solid one. That's a really nice addition for Kansas, but this doesn't have anything to do with us. Well, maybe it does. McCullough, by the way, 10-5 guy at Texas Tech last year.
Wow.
Because Tyrese Hunter also very much was considering Kansas. Tyrese Hunter, the Iowa State transfer, very much on the radar of Tennessee. You know, he was a freshman guard last year that averaged 11 points, 3.5 rebounds, and 5 assists a game, shooting nearly 40% for an Iowa State team and TJ Ostenberger's, I believe, first year that took him to the NCAA tournament. After a 2-win season the year before, he hit the portal, and at one point it had been rumored that it's just down to Tennessee and Kansas. But that Kansas, you know, he was probably going to stay in the Big 12. Kansas was even willing to maybe, you know, shorten their roster for him. But now that Kansas has landed McCullough instead, you know, there are different types of guards. Obviously, Hunter is 6 foot, McCullough 6'6", but still, you don't know if Kansas still has room to also take Hunter. So Hunter could end up coming to Tennessee. You know, that could be where that last scholarship goes. We'll see. But definitely. Sorry.
No. Would you think that leads Hunter in our favor?
Yeah, no, definitely something that could be helpful for Tennessee. Yeah, I do think that probably puts us in a better spot for Tyrese Hunter.
That's pretty dope, man. I feel like basketball recruiting's picked up a lot in the past couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, basketball.
We've gotten a couple crystal balls on a couple kids, I think.
You've gotten some 2023 crystal balls. (clears throat) 2023 class looks like it could be coming together really nicely. Yeah, I think so. Third down, the tennis team is trying to advance to the national championship as they continued their run in the NCAA tournament yesterday. Back to the semifinals with a 4-3 win over Baylor in the Elite Eight. A really fun win as now the tennis team has made their way to the Final Four.
Dude, our tennis team is silently, I guess, well, not really quietly, but I guess for us other outside sports fans, man, they've been dominant all year. Our men's team and women's.
Yeah, number 6 Tennessee advancing to second consecutive Final Four, NCAA semifinal. It was deadlocked at 3-3, and Shunsuke Mitsui won a 3-set battle on court 4 to send the tennis team through to the next round again for the second consecutive year. Mitsui dropped the first set and then earned the second set tiebreak that sent the match to a third set. So came back down 1-0 to win the next two. Baylor finished the year 29-4, and two of their 4 losses were to Tennessee this year.
We were ranked number 1 there for a little bit. During kind of back towards the
I believe so.
Yeah, mid-season right. Of baseball. Yeah, we touched the number 1 ranking there for a little bit. So,
well, day off today for Tennessee. The next game coming Saturday, or I guess match game. I don't know what you call it. The next something.
The match. We'll go match. We'll sound fancy.
It's a collection of matches, and matches are a collection of games, and I don't know.
Good point there.
The semifinals will take place Saturday, and you will be up against the winner of Florida and Virginia, who face off today.
Sick. Man, I'd love to take down.
I also think you have some individual guys that are competing for that, but that confuses me, so I don't understand how the individual works with the team and whatnot.
Well, you get the... It's probably the same as...
But, yeah. Shout out to the tennis team. Would be a fun little national championship to get.
Yeah, like when Vanderbilt went crazy for their bowling championship. But, you know, I considered.
And then fourth down, Jordan Addison, who has been in the news quite a bit lately, obviously, is, you know, he has been one of the points that's really surrounded NIL talk with tampering in the portal and whatever else. Is the night before the last night to enter the transfer portal, Addison hits the portal, and the rumor is, you know, he's immediately going to USC. He was even out in California at the time, and I thought that there was some tampering that took place. Obviously, he reportedly got quite the offer from USC, and then, you know, people freaked out. Narduzzi freaked out. People said, hey, this is clearly tampering. This should be against the rules. Pitt was talking about, you know, taking action against USC. Addison then didn't commit right away. Still kind of felt like, you know, maybe some people thought he was going to do the free agency thing after all and see what price he could get. Some people also just kind of thought it was like
strategic.
Yeah, it was
just to get people off his back
before we go to USC. Then yesterday he just happened to choose the perfect time, right around 5 o'clock, to just commit to USC.
Just quietly, and
everyone entirely focused on
Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher.
Saban and Jimbo and Addison sneakily commits to USC. But
hey, a smart move by him. I mean,
him and Caleb Williams, both from the D.C. area. Obviously, he's one of the best receivers in the country, if not the best. First-team All-American and Biletnikoff winner. Good for Tennessee, I guess. Now you don't have to see one of the best receivers in the country in week two.
Yeah.
Narduzzi had multiple contentious phone calls with Riley soon after Addison broached entering the portal.
Huh. No, I mean, honestly, if you're Pitt, I'd be livid.
I would be very mad.
I would be
a very bad day.
That would be somebody I'd accept complaining on a national TV. At a meeting and calling people out, I'd accept that. I mean, that's your best player, and that's the one thing about this NIL that scares me is just all these kind of small schools. They have a breakout player, gone the next year.
Well, USC, they also got Oklahoma transfer Mario Williams, who was a freshman All-American last year, and then they also have Brendan Rice, the son of Jerry Rice, who transferred in from Colorado, where he averaged 15 yards a catch last year.
He had a great year, Colorado.
USC's receiving core looking quite dangerous, and you know, they still try to get Xavier Worthy, too. That's the funniest part. But
I cannot wait to have this hatred that I have for USC just kind of rekindled.
It's always fun to dislike USC.
I've never liked them, man. I loved Reggie Bush, hated the team.
Well, we are going to catch a break here. That was your opening drive. Stay with us. We'll take a look at the NBA playoffs, sadly, and get a PGA update as well on the other side, right here on the Blitz. Stay with us. Back here on the Blitz, want to let you know that the live stream is powered by Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. If you are not active right now because of discomfort or pain that is limiting any of your activities, then check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Again, located in Memphis, people are coming from all over Tennessee and from everywhere else because they want to get back in the game of life without surgery. Back on your bike, back to the gym, walk around to the park, play with your kids, whatever it is. Maybe you're just trying to get that wrist right for your weekend bowling league, whatever it might be. LendermanSportsMedicine.com is the place to check it out. LENDERMON SportsMedicine.com. It's been an interesting day so far at the PGA Championship as the flags are whipping. 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts.
Oh, wow.
At Southern Hills can make for quite the day as we are, I guess, 5 hours into it, 4 hours into it.
Probably
yeah.
Less.
Yeah, something right around there. Max Homa has dealt with the wind. Excuse me, my app just got all kinds of messed up. Here we go. It's Rory McIlroy, obviously that was the leader in the clubhouse yesterday at 5-under. Justin Thomas, Rory is not teed off yet. Thomas and Joaquin Niemann both have made their way to 4-under. Niemann 2-under on the day, Thomas 1-under on the day. Both of those guys tied for second, as well as Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoge, who have not teed off yet. But, you know, you're two guys out there playing the best right now, Thomas and Niemann. Shane Lowry's made a push to tied for ninth with a 2-under day. Well, still a lot of guys haven't teed off yet.
Cameron Smith's made a push again.
Yeah, Cam Smith.
Oh, wait, no. He pushed last night. Yeah. He hasn't even teed off yet.
He had a great back nine yesterday.
That's the way he plays. It's just
either 4-under on the back to get to 2-under. Today, Webb Simpson's 1-over today. Tiger yesterday did not have a good day.
Yeah, he seemed to kind of re-irritate that injury.
Tiger yesterday got off to a nice little hot start. It was pretty fun. You thought, hey, you know, maybe Tiger can make this a fun weekend, a competitive weekend. And then things really kind of collapsed for him. Ended up going even on the front after bogeying 5 and 9. And then on the back, bogey, bogey, birdie, bogey. 3-over on the first, or 2-over on the first four holes. And then bogey the final two to go 4-over on the back and 4-over on the day. So he tees off a 136 today. You know, we'll see if he can fight to make the cut. Right now, the projected cut line is at 2-over.
Okay.
So Woods will have to go, you know, under par today to continue to play into the weekend. But again, it was Rory having the best day yesterday, which he does that. You know, he's due when in these big tournaments to give you that one really good round. I don't know how well that'll translate, but obviously, or I mean, how well that'll carry over to today or tomorrow or through the weekend, or if, you know, you can keep it up, but
you expect one off round.
He's your favorite. He is at 3-1 odds. Justin Thomas, you were in second best odds at 5.5-1 odds. Will Zalatoris, 10-1 odds. Cameron Smith, 11-1. Joaquin Niemann, 14-1. Schauffele, 14-1. Some other notable names: world number one Scottie Scheffler, 33-1. Tony Finau, 40-1. Spieth at 50-1. Uh, 28-1. Tom Hoge, who's still just tied for second, but have seen his odds significantly increase. And if you want to bet on John Daly, well, you can do that too, at 1,500-1 odds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
How does day even end? Did he stay under par? No. No, he did not stay under par.
What did he end with?
He went 3-over.
I sent you that fit check that he had.
Oh, he was looking good. I mean,
looking clean, man.
He bogeyed the eighth hole and still went 1-under on the front yesterday, which is awesome. But I think maybe he didn't smoke enough cigarettes, or maybe he didn't drink enough Diet Coke.
That's usually what I've heard that really stunts a golfer.
Because He bogeyed 4 out of the final 5 holes to finish the day 2 over. So I think, you know, didn't have the strongest finish in the world. I wish they would have put Tiger Woods with John Daly.
That would have been sick.
I wish they would have put those.
That'd have made your whole week probably.
Like John Daly just whipping past him in the golf cart.
Yeah, I love that he gets to drive the golf cart around. That just makes my day. That's what I thought was so funny on that fit check. Him just leaned back in that golf cart.
If I'm on the PGA Tour, I'm figuring out how to get some sort of fake doctor's note that lets me drive a golf cart.
For sure. The best part about golfing, I think, is the golf cart. Well, not the best part, but at least top 5.
I hate walking the course.
It's
nice for about 2 holes, maybe 3.
Get a little exercise in and then let me.
Well, just, you know, it's like peaceful for like a couple holes. Like, it's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, you're out in nature.
Oh. This is wonderful. I feel good. And hole 4, it's like, oh, I shanked a drive into the woods and now I have to walk to it to go find it to, you know, then walk across the fairway to the left side after I, you know, pull this one that way. And when you're not playing good golf, walking the course gets very frustrating very quickly.
I'm just looking at my first pick, Ju Young Kim, in that draft. He's sitting at plus 10.
Yeah, here. You read off your guys' scores.
Oh God. Well, he'll get dropped, thank God, but
yeah, you better hope.
Yeah, right. Okay, so my first pick was Ju Young Kim. He's sitting at plus 10 right now. And then I went to
Russell Knox.
Russell Knox, he's not doing too hot either. He's missing the cut at the moment. He's down here. Where's his flag at? He's at plus 6.
Oh, you're going to have a bad score.
But I believe the next person on my list, I think, let's see, who was it?
They went from Kevin Na.
Kevin Na. See, Kevin Na, and he's right there with Cameron Smith at minus 2. So they're both sitting at 2 under. And then my boy Fleetwood sitting at even, 1 under on the day. And then Matsuyama's not having a great day. I think he's plus 1 right now. He hasn't tipped off yet, but. And then my boy Siwoo is at 1, plus 1. Where's Matsuyama? There we go. He's at plus 2. God, man. I need my guys to get it together. And then Cameron Smith is at 200 now. So hopefully I have a good second day and the wind calms down and I can sneak in some good players. What are yours at?
Right now?
Yeah.
Not amazing. I don't have as bad of scores as you, but I don't think I don't have like great scores either. So my last pick, Harry Higgs. Harry is at 4 over.
So
but he's
lame.
Even today through 4. My next pick, Joel Dahman. He's 4 over and 1 over today through 3. Yes. Ricky Fowler, 1 over, and he's even today through 8. Webb Simpson, even, and he's 1 over today. Abraham Mancer. That's going to be the guy that is going to carry me, I guess. He's 3 under. Tony Finau, 1 under. And Colin Morikawa is 2 over. So right now, I guess
Jesus.
8 over, 9 over.
Let's see, 10.
6 under. I mean, 6 over, 5 under. I'm 7 over as a team.
10.
If you'd go ahead and double 6. The score for not making the cut.
Hold on. 10 plus 6 is 16. I forgot where my guys
dropped the worst.
Dropped
score,
the
though.
10, but so 6 plus the.
But that 6 is going to double to a 12 because he's not going to make the cut.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So 12. God, that sucks so much. Matsuyama's at 2, so 14. Who else was at 2?
Sounds like I have an early lead.
Yeah, oh, plus 1 is Siwoo, so yeah, you probably do. I got 2 2-unders, and that's it. So I got 4 under minus the... What is that? I can't do math.
I think I'm up like 3 strokes.
Yeah.
So it's pretty close. Pretty close heading into the weekend. It'll just probably be our top guys that decide it. Like, for me, it'll be Finau and Answer. or just hoping that
versus
someone
Smith
doesn't
and
go.
Nah versus Smith and Nah, bro.
Or it'll just be like your guys that are
just
like,
suck so bad.
Or just, oh, I mean, it'll just be like your guys like for me, like Webb Simpson and Ricky, who are like one over and even, or like Morikawa, who's two over. Like, can any of them have that big push Saturday or like big push Sunday to just go low? It's not like they're gonna win, but just really, you know, help the score. But yeah, loser getting punished with the wheel on Monday. Gonna catch a break here though. I've been putting it off because it broke my heart, but Heat Celtics and game two of the Western Conference Finals. We'll hit that on the other side. Stick with us here on the Blitz. I'm waking up at the start of the end of the world, but it's feeling just like every other morning before. Now I wonder what my life is gonna mean if it's gone. The cars I just bet on John Daly. Not to win.
Okay.
That was a little bit too much. I bet on him in his three ball matchup, which
is that just against his group?
Yeah. So okay. You're just betting him against his group. And I don't even know who these guys are. His group is Shawn Michaels.
Is that not a wrestler?
No, that's Shawn Michaels. But Shawn Mike, I don't know. Shawn Michael?
Mikael?
Shawn Mitchell? Sean is spelled Sean.
Wait, which way? S-E-A-N or S-H-A-U-W-N?
A-O-N. Or A-U-N. S-H-A-U-N? Sean?
S-H-A-U-N?
Yeah. Is that not a normal way to I don't think that's a normal way.
I don't think that's actually a normal way at all. I thought it was either S-E-A-N or S...
So you spell Sean White, too.
H-A-W-N.
So you spell Sean White, too.
Really?
S-H-A-U-N.
Sean.
And Shaun of the Dead? Now I feel like I've never seen this word in my life. We've talked about it too much.
I'm telling you. Oh, yeah, when I typed it out, it makes, yeah, no. But also.
But the last name is M-I-C-H-E-E-L.
Oh, that's.
He's 53.
That's Miguel. That's Miguel. Michiel.
He had a surprise victory at the 2003 PGA Championship. He was born in Orlando, attended Christian Brothers High School in Memphis, went to Indiana, 53 years old. Highest ranking ever was 34 in 2004, but he's playing with John Daly.
John's cruising on a golf cart, and everybody else is just walking. That kills me, man.
And then he's also playing with Y.E. Yang.
That's the boy.
50-year-old man from South Korea.
50? What, are they just pairing with the oldest people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe how they have to do it.
That makes sense, though.
He came behind and beat Tiger in 2009 PGA Championship. But yeah, I think that's just like how they have to. Because if you win, you can just play whenever. Like, you just get to play for in any PGA Championship you want to the rest of time.
Oh, really?
That's why they're playing in it. So I guess they put them together.
Oh, so if you just win one, does it have to be a major?
I think that's specific to the PGA Championship.
Oh, so if you win the PGA, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, makes sense. You put in the work, might as well get to golf with the best for the rest of your life.
So, yeah, those guys playing together. Maybe they should just all get carts, honestly. Once you hit 50, they should just give you a cart.
Yeah. Just have a little, like, oh, dude, in between whole races. Just line them up, and
we need to give John Daly one of them like scooter carts,
hover rounds.
Yeah,
just get three dudes on a hover round and just go around the course. Get a front basket, have a mascot, have their little shih tzus or something in the front. Just everyone get their old man small dog. There's nothing cuter than going to like a restaurant and seeing an old man with a small dog.
An old man with a small dog?
Old men that have small dogs.
I've never once had that thought,
dude,
before.
What?
I hate small dogs.
I do too, but the older you get, the smaller your dog gets.
No, yes. I want old men with big
dogs. No, you can't be 65 having a 55-pound pit bull jump on your lap because they will shatter you. You have to have a little petite.
If there's an old man, I want him to have a big dog.
All right, but I'm just saying, he better
old
be an old.
Little dogs.
It would have to be an old big dog, like an old dog that don't do nothing. And it just lays around. Because I'm telling you, it's just hard for an old man to be able to take a big dog out. You can put a little chipper chapper dog, and I'm just saying.
Anyway, the Heat lost last night, and it made me sad. The Heat really honestly got killed. Was not a close game at any point past the first quarter. 127-102, the final score.
You know, so
35-24 at the end of the first. It was nearly a 30-point game at halftime. Jason Tatum, 27, 8 of 13 from the field. Marcus Smart was the best player last night, wreaking havoc defensively after coming back from injury. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. Grant Williams knocked down his shots. Jaylen Brown knocked down his shots.
You know, I hope the first three games so far of these Eastern and Western Conference Finals have been blowouts.
Yeah, basically. We've gotten blowouts.
And I hope it closens up because so far, I mean, it's just – it's watching this game and keeping an eye on Twitter and how upset people are so far about how just – there's not been a single game yet.
Right.
It's just it's not good for the NBA. You want to see closer games, man. You don't want to see just teams just get dismantled. And, again, Jimmy Butler putting up 29, though. And he's the only one showing up every night for them. And you can't have that. You have to have at least one other person. And so far for the Celtics, they've had another person show up except for the game that they got beat. And so I don't know.
I mean, Max Drew sucked last night. Like, Gabe Vincent was all right. Bam Adebayo still just playing way too conservative. 3 of 6 from the field.
He should be able to attack points. Grant Williams.
P.J. Tucker got hurt. Caleb Martin didn't give you much offensively. Tyler Hero was inefficient. Oladipo was even more inefficient. They tried to let Duncan Robinson try to shoot his way back in. He missed all four of his threes.
I don't take too much stock in the loss, though.
Didn't play great defense. Jimmy Butler took the blame after the game. He said he tried to do too much.
He shot 11 of 18. Do too much. I think that's perfect.
He said he needs to pass. He said, I think I have to do a better job of getting everybody else involved. If I'm being brutally honest, I have to find that fine medium, that fine line in between when you need to be aggressive and when I need to make sure I can get guys open.
They need Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I mean, without Lowry, you know, Vincent obviously is his replacement, and he's
not as much of a playmaker.
Bad,
but
he's not as good of a, like an assist,
yeah,
a shot creator.
He's not going
like,
to be able
to – he's good, but you know he's not quite Lowry, and now that just puts more pressure on Butler to be a distributor within this offense and to not only be that guy that goes and finds a shot, but to be the guy that passes off of it too, and the guy that can get other things working. I also, again, if Bam could just play better, if Bam could be more assertive, if Bam could score more inside, that would also make things easier on the rest of this Heat team because it allows you to space things out more.
When you see him matched up against Grant Williams, I feel like he can take advantage of that. Last night, you saw it a couple times in the paint, him working the post, you know, grabbing an offensive rebound and resetting and being able to get himself back to the basket against Grant. And
all of a sudden,
I agree.
But again, the Celtics, like, healthy again. Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and they whoop you in game two, and now you're headed to their place game three after they stole home court. That's not a great place to be in for the Heat. And Jimmy is right. I mean, 3 assists last night, not enough. Like, he does need to get people more involved. You just got to do a better job of cracking that first line of defense, too.
Mm-hmm. And give it to the Celtics. They are playing just dumb defense, man. I mean, they did one, too, except for the third quarter.
I thought really well last night. The Celtics did. There's not the downhill action that the Heat want. You know, there's not as much movement and gravitation towards the rim as the Heat want. And again, Adebayo, please be aggressive.
I don't
please
understand
quit
that.
Feeling out the game and doing this and do that. Just go. You dictate it.
You are massive.
He's the one that
man.
Dictates it, Bam. And Butler honestly was kind of a little passive early too. But the Celtics last night were just able to make the Heat shoot over top of them, and the Celtics are a hard team to shoot over top of, especially when you're not getting great looks.
But Tyler,
just got to get Bam and Butler going, and you got to get them going towards the rim, and maybe even run that little pick and roll with them too.
Well, what we said before game one, I mean, you said Tyler Hero needs to hit at least his average, and 11 is not. I mean, he's not. the sixth man of the year for no reason.
You and also, you know, if you're Miami, you just hope that surely the Celtics don't shoot 20 of 40 from three ever again. I mean, holy cow. That was absurd.
It was a big turnaround from game one, which was just terrible. It was like 10 for like 50. It was bad. It's just bad.
But Tyler Hero was minus 33. Dwayne Dedman minus 27. Kayla Martin minus 13. Victor Oladipo minus 15. The Heat's role players got whipped last night by the Celtics role players, which I thought the Heat had better depth here, but they certainly did not display that last night. Tonight, Western Conference Finals game two. You know, we'll see if the Mavs can try to steal home court. Obviously, they are looking to bounce back from what was a tough loss game one. I mean, a game that wasn't really all that competitive. ESPN Basketball Power Index matchup predictor has Golden State with a 75% chance to win tonight, or 74, 6-point favorites.
I definitely don't see it being a blowout.
If Andrew Wiggins can guard Luka like he did in game one, and if they can continue to put Draymond on Brunson and take away Brunson's ability to, you know, attack the rim at the same clip.
If they could just hurt one other player on somebody else's team also, that'd be sick, you know?
Yeah, I just...
Game, first series, who they hurt? Before they took out Ja Morant. Now they just sliced Luka's eye up. I mean, just that clearly affected him in that first half. It kept him from kind of getting going, made him uncomfortable. I expect a big bounce back from the Mavs. They've done it all year, and if not, you'll see them turning around at home court. You just can't count them out after the Suns' performance.
I like the Warriors here. Yeah, obviously. I mean, that's not some bold prediction. They're 6-point favorites and just blew them out game one, but. I felt good about the Mavs going into this series, and I feel a lot worse about them now.
I kind of did the same thing as the Suns. We all picked a sweep on the Suns, or before the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, I went 0-7 picking the Suns.
Mavs games?
Actually, I went 1-6. I got Suns game two right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when they go back home, you'll see a switch in mentality.
We'll see. Yeah. It's just Warriors. Did a much better job defensively than I anticipated, and a lot of credit goes to Steve Kerr for, you know, switching things around. But hey, we'll catch a break in the Friday show like we always do on the other side with a little If You Haven't Heard. Stay with us right here on the Blitz. Final segment of this Friday edition of the Blitz here on Fan Run Radio. Ending the show with how we always do with a little If You Haven't Heard. I'll start things off. If you haven't heard, NHL playoffs continue to roll along last night. Man, we got two really, really good games. An instant classic, really, I guess, depending on who you ask. But down in Florida, at least, as the Lightning take game two on the road against the Florida Panthers to take a 2-0 series lead. And holy cow, was this one crazy. It was Ross Colton who put it in for the Lightning with 3.8 seconds left, assisted by Kucherov. It was back behind the net.
Filthy, man.
Kucherov somehow got it out in front to Ross Colton.
It was
put it
filthy.
Right up over the left shoulder of Bravosky.
Terrible defense by the Panthers there, but...
It looked like they were kind of, you know, he shouldn't expecting that clock to run out, I guess, but...
Kucherov again
Colton
coming in clutch.
3.8 seconds left. And again, a beautiful feed, too, just to make that play happen.
Backhanded
and
just behind.
Man, the Lightning go on the road to the, you know, and take it on the team with the best record in hockey. Takes game one and two on the road. In very good shape now to potentially make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I see
Florida. They're
trying
to repeat.
I don't see Florida beating them four games in a row.
I don't see Florida winning. Four out of the next six.
No.
Four to the next five.
Best of seven. Yeah, we're slow. We're so sorry. You're right.
I don't know.
Five, six, seven. Yeah, there's five games left.
Four. Five. They would have to win four of the next
five? They'd have to win four out of the next five to just take them.
Four out of the next five. I don't know what just broke
math is hard, okay?
But yeah, I don't think Florida wins four out of the next five. Now the Lightning have home court or home ice. And then the Blues last night, they bounced back from a tough game one loss to the best team, the most talented team in hockey, the Avalanche, with two Perron goals, a goal from Saad, and a goal from Kyrou. After a scoreless first, it was the Blues taking it to the Avalanche, winning that one 4-1. And are the postseason Avs, are they going to choke again after looking unbeatable in round one? They looked unbeatable round one last year and came right back out, won game one of the next series, and then inexplicably started to lose. Here they are now, losing home ice against the Blues. The Blues will go back home to a very raucous crowd in St. Louis for games 3 and 4. Man, the Avs did look pretty beatable at times against the Preds, which sounds crazy to say since the Preds got swept and blown out at times in that series. But like game two, you know, Ingram was able to make, 50 saves and get it to overtime. Like game 3 and 4, you know, game four, the Preds were leading closer, in the third. Yeah. Like game three, it was almost tied going into the third, despite the Preds being severely outmatched. So, you know, a better team like the Blues, a team more suited
deep.
To play against
They're deep,
the
too. They have a deep roster.
Mm-hmm. Stackhouse, you got any if you haven't heard?
If you haven't heard, Formula One is up and running in Spain today. FP1 has already happened. FP2 is coming to an end. Up there, battling it out at the Circuit de Catalunya in Barcelona. Right now, it's looking like the two Ferraris are topping the two Red Bulls, which has kind of been the wave for the season. But that's underway, and this looks to be a great weekend in Spain.
Let's go.
Yeah, right? Let's go. Woo. Thank you. Thank you.
If you haven't heard, Nolan Gorman and Matthew Liberatore. I've only read his name. I've never actually heard it pronounced. So I just read, like, prospect list because he's been in the minors. Well, they've been playing baseball together since they were 4 and 5 years old.
That's so sick.
They were both drafted in the first round by the Cardinals. They both rose through the Cardinals minor league system together, both considered top prospects, the number 2 and number 3 overall prospects in their system. And today, they were both called up to the major leagues at the same time together.
That is amazing. I love when the world works out like that.
I mean, truly, just an incredible story.
That's super dope, dude. Just your whole life with your best bud.
5 years old on the diamond together. Grew up, played together the entire time. Same team. Drafted in the same round. To the same team somehow, and major league debuts together. I mean, that's just so cool.
That's insanity. You know, you probably drafted that just because of the chemistry, right?
I wonder if it did play a role. Today, Friday, May 20th. Oh, my gosh, there's a lot. I got to go.
Do it.
May 20th, NASCAR Day, National Bike to Work Day, National Defense Transportation Day, National Endangered Species Day, National Streaming Day, International Red Sneakers Day, National Be a Millionaire Day. National Pick Strawberries Day. National Keisha Lorraine Day. National Rescue Dog Day. Shout out to every dog ever had. Sammy Buck, Amy, I know you're listening. National Pizza Party Day. That being said, hey, that'll do it for another good week here on the Blitz. From Charlie Stackhouse, I hope y'all have a fantastic weekend. Go Vols. Go take it to the Bulldogs, down to the Dude. Stay with us on Fan Radio. Talk Sports is next.